Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about writing relatable stories about midlife. Today, you'll be meeting Kimberly Deedy, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who's an independent author who offers uplifting stories that encourage women in midlife to never stop dreaming and taking chances. Welcome to the show, Kimberly. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Susie. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am so happy you're here too. You know, the midlife ladies love to write, and this is going to be a great interview. So we're going to have a conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. I love a good story, and you're good at stories. We'll be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent and might be challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's get started with how old you are, your entrepreneurial journey, what it looked like, and what it is you do in the world. So take it away.
Okay. Well, thank you. I am 57 years old, just turned 57.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. And my entrepreneurial journey started in 2017. So prior to that, I worked in banking. I was actually an accountant for 31 years at the same company.
I can't even imagine being an accountant.
I still love parts of that.
I'm sure you do, or how could you have done it? Like the people that go into accounting, love it. It's so good.
But I'm having a lot more fun now.
I bet.
So what had happened was we have three kids. They were reaching the stage. They weren't out of the house yet. This was probably my mid-40s, 46, so 47. But I could envision the emptiness coming. And I thought, you know, I'm going to need a hobby of my own.
Oh, yes.
And I'd always been an avid reader. And I read a lot of fiction until I turned 40. And when I turned 40, I just felt like, gosh, there's got to be more to life. So I really turned to nonfiction. I was reading all kinds of self-help books. But then eventually I wanted to get back into fiction. And I just wasn't really finding books that resonated with me. I wanted to read about women at my stage in life. And so that's what got me thinking, hey, it might be kind of fun to just try my hand at, could I write? You know, knowing I'd always use the other side of my brain as an accountant.
So you actually thought, huh, nobody's writing about the stuff I want. Could I do that? Could I?
I did think that. Of course, I'm finding a lot more books like that now, but at the time, you know, I wasn't really tuned into it. And so I just started writing, and being an accountant, I love my spreadsheets. And I thought, okay, if I hole up in the basement for an hour an evening, when the kids don't need me, when they're not around, how long would it take to write a book? And keep in mind, I had no idea what I was doing. I'd always been a reader, but writing's different. And so I'd work on it for a while, stick it back in the drawer, pull it out, write some more. And then about 2016, I got up the nerve to, I'd finished it. I thought, it's kind of silly just to leave this in the drawer. And I let four people read it. My mom, my dad, one brother who reads a lot, and a family friend who is a high school English teacher. And of course, my parents, oh, this is great. But you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. And so the one I was really waiting to hear from was my brother, because he would give it to me straight. In a few months passed, I hadn't heard anything. And I thought, well, that's it. You know, it's terrible. And he doesn't want to tell me. But he did actually call me. And I remember it vividly. It was September of 2016. And I was shopping with my mother on a trip. And he said, hey, I think this is good. I think you need to do something with this.
Wow.
I started bawling in the mall. You know, I'm like, really? Now I don't know what to do or how to do anything with it. The other dynamic that was happening at the exact same time was my mom had been feeling ill, and we finally found out what was going on, and it was not a good outcome. It was, mm-hmm. it was going to limit her life. And so I got this crazy idea. I'm still working full time, still have three kids at home. And my mom was excited about this book. And I thought, I've got to turn it into a real book so she can see it and feel it. Mm. And so I knew traditional publishing route wasn't the route I wanted to take for a number of reasons, but mostly from a timing perspective. And so I joined some online courses, found out how to self-publish, and I published my first book, Whispering Pines, which was based roughly off my mother's great aunt, or my mother's aunt, my great aunt. She had a really neat story. And so I held that book, gave it to mom in September of 2017. So 1 year after my brother told me I should do something with it. And it was really fun. She got a whole box of books and I signed them and she gave them to all her friends. And then she passed away in December.
Oh, I'm so
fun. Thank you. I do feel like she was the impetus behind this though. And I just fell in love with the process and I wrote 1 to 2 books a year for the next few years. And then I was really ready for something different. So when I turned 55, I could technically retire. Not that it really got me that much from my old career, but I just decided it was time to take the leap. So I did that. That was 2 years ago. And so that's how I find myself writing books full time now. Wow. And I will publish my 10th novel next month. It'll come out next month. So,
Kimberly, you're cranking them out.
I'm cranking them out.
Where are you coming up with all these ideas?
Well, my first 7 books are all in one series, and it's called Celia's Gifts. And as I mentioned, Celia is based, she was inspired by my great aunt, who was an amazing woman who never married, never had kids, but she went into the man's world. She was working. By the time she retired, she was a part owner in a road construction company North Dakota, which in the 30s, she was president of the North Dakota Highway Association. And she was like 34 years old. In 1937, I found a news article about her. So
that's unusual.
When she passed away, I was in my mid-20s. I wish I would have been a little older so I would have gotten to have a heart-to-heart and really knew more about her life or learned more about her life. But she, when she passed away, she left all of her extended family a little bit of an inheritance. So my idea for this first book, it was just going to be one, was, okay, Celia, who is really my Aunt Mary, when she passes away, she leaves a sizable inheritance to her 4 nieces and nephew. And what do they do with that? And so that's where my first book came from. And then by the time I got done with that first book, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I could write the story of all 4 of these people. So that's where my first 4 books came from, threw a Christmas book in. And then I loved Celia so much that I decided I have to go back and write her story, even though she'd been gone at the beginning of the series. So then I wrote 2 more books about her. So that first book is really all about a strong family unit, draws a lot from my own personal experience. It's definitely fiction. But I know when people know me, family members, what have you, read it, they could find lots of fun, you know, holiday traditions we have, all that kind of thing. I've more recently started a second series, and that's all, it's somewhat tied to the first, but it's a group of 5 women who've been friends since they were actually met at summer camp at 12, high school friends. And now, as they turn 50, they promised each other when they were 18, by the time they turn 50, they'd all start to take girls' trips together. And so that's what each book is, an annual girls' trip. And it's just how they're supporting each other through midlife and through all the challenges, you know, that so many of us face all the time. And I should have said in the first series, too, those nieces and nephew, they're all in their mid to late 40s. So that's kind of my ongoing theme through it all, are, you know, empty nest, career dissatisfaction, what to do about it, and just try to put uplifting stories out there that help inspire people to reach out, reconnect with old friends, tighten up those ties with their families, what have you. So,
oh, Kimberly, this is just so sweet. I love that you're emphasizing these strong family units and relationships with women. You know, I did something special for my 50th birthday. And wait, was it my 50th? No, it was the 200th episode. I love when I can't remember stuff when I'm talking on my podcast. It's like, this is reality, right? So for my 200th episode of my original podcast, Women in the Middle, mm-hmm. I did an episode with my 7 girlfriends that we've been hanging together for over 30 years. I'm the youngest one in that group. And we just talked about our relationship over the years. And mm-hmm. it's a podcast episode. And then for my 60th birthday, last week was, I reached out to 3 friends that I graduated with from high school. And we were not really chatty on Facebook, but we were connected. And I put a call out. I said, any of my girlfriends who are turning 60 this year from graduating in 1981 from the high school that we went to, if you want to chat on a podcast panel. And 3 of them did. And it was delightful just to really think back to what life was like, what it was like growing mm-hmm. up in a small town, what our marching band was like, all of those things. And then they went through massive trials and tribulations and yet very excited about what's next.
Yeah.
It was lovely. So I don't know. I'm kind of just getting off that experience and how delightful it was. And then, you know, you've got this focus on female relationships. It's so, so sweet. Now, how can people get a hold of these books?
The books are available on all the online stores. They're in some local bookstores. They're available for libraries to purchase, to bring in for the patrons as well. So there, I have them everywhere I can think of.
Amazing. And so you're an independent author. And I guess a lot of people don't really appreciate that when you do self-publish and you are an independent author, you are responsible for doing all kinds of things, which means you have to hire some people and learn a bunch of stuff.
For sure.
That's a lot of tech. I self-published a book and it was very stressful during those final times where you're like, you think everything's right and you go to press publish and it just won't. There's still something wrong. There's still something wrong. Terrible. Okay, so you said, though, that you transitioned from being a long-term employee as an accountant mm-hmm. in banking to now having this freedom to be creative and to work on something that's lucrative. I mean, to me, accounting and writing are like so different. Mm-hmm. So what's some of your favorite things now that you could see a little bit in that world of accounting and corporate life? Is there anything that was there that kind of hinted to this kind of a lifestyle for you?
Oh, I think so. For one thing, I knew I wanted the time freedom and, you know, not to be tied to a specific location, but there's definitely skills that were transferable. I'm running a business. And so I write the books, but then I have to produce the books. And I have to market the books and grow social media. And at the end of the year, I have to hand over my financials related to this business to my tax accountant. So I feel like it's a really good combination to be able to utilize a lot of the skills I developed over the years. And yes, I was an accountant, but I was also a manager and I had to do a lot of business writing, be it in emails, presentations, what have you. So It's maybe not quite as far of a stretch as it sounds like, but
I love the transferable skill part of your story because, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many entrepreneurs who, you know, they do what they're doing because it's their sweet spot. It's their zone of genius. The bookkeeping is an afterthought and it's a pain in the butt. And it's something that so many of us feel it's just like nothing we're interested in, mm-hmm. even though, you know, we know you got to know the numbers, but it just seems like extra and annoying and, you know, hard to even find somebody good who really understands small business. Mm-hmm. And so here you are with transferable skills that are actually helping you. Like, that's something.
Yes. Yes. And it's fun because I feel like at least that's something I know how to do. Yeah. When I have a day where I'm doing all this stuff and it's all new to me, it's nice to be able to feel like I can fall back on that too.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, now you know I love to talk about what's really going on in midlife and how it mm-hmm. can throw a wrench into the situation when you're trying to run your business and write your books. So tell me a little bit about what has come up for you.
A number of things. First and foremost, I was anxious to do this for a few years, to actually make the leap. And I held off because, well, for one thing, I was walking away from a paycheck to being an entrepreneur, giving up my benefits. But I think the thing that surprises me, two things surprise me the most. One, the time freedom I absolutely love, but there were days when I got a lot more writing done when I was working full time. And that's because I had to focus. And I know, yes, a lot of people find this. So that's been a big shock is, okay, how do I recreate what my days should look like?
Right.
Because not only the 8 to 5 is no longer necessary, I can work weekends, I can work nights, I can sleep in, I can get up early, what have you. Nobody really cares. However, creativity also doesn't work that way, right? Even if I said, okay, I'm going to write from 10 till noon today, I can sit in the chair, but sometimes the muse isn't there. So that's been a surprise for me, but that's okay. You know, it's a good problem to have, and I'm just trying to figure it out. Boundaries is another one. You know, be it with mostly with family, and they mean well, but because I retired from my first job, it's easy for them to think I have all this flexibility now, when in reality, if I want to accomplish all my goals, I have to put in even more hours than I ever did before.
And you need a schedule. So even though the flexibility is yours to create the schedule, it's also your responsibility to commit to your schedule.
Right.
But somebody from the outside is just, oh, yeah, you're retired, I need help with this, or can we do that? Yeah.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. You know, be it I have my father is still living at home and doing quite well. However, sometimes he needs help. Sometimes he has health struggles. We have a new grandbaby who lives next door, and huge blessing. But again, I have to be careful not to spend too much of my time doing those things because I still have a lot of goals I want to accomplish it with my writing. And because I'm self-published, and even any author, if they want to be, you know, writing books and selling books, it takes a lot.
So, yeah, it does. And the one thing that you mentioned in your notes are these young adults. Tell me about these young adults in your life.
Yep. We have 3 kids and 22, 26, and 29. So, you know, those are busy years. And sometimes they still, even if they don't want mom and dad's help, sometimes it's necessary, and it's welcome once they, you know, we step forward and do that. But starting careers, starting families, I mentioned one grandchild. And so that too can, you know, all of a sudden I have the freedom where I can go visit them. You know, we've got one that doesn't live locally and I want to go visit her. And theoretically, when I get there, I can write and do my business when she's working. But sometimes we just want to go have fun. They're all good problems to have, but it just kind of comes back to a challenge is to keep the focus.
Yeah, that's such a challenge for midlife women too, because there's squirrels everywhere. We love those squirrels.
We love those squirrels. And for many years, I couldn't chase the squirrels.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Wow. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned technology. So I totally get this. Tell me how it comes up for you.
Everywhere. So my whole business is online.
Yeah.
And I started out when I first put my books out, I focused on just one major online platform. But then I've expanded that to all the big online stores, and each one is a little different. So in order to get my books on there, to promote my books on there, to, you know, things I never thought about before I was a writer, things like metadata and keywords and search terms so people can find my books. Other technology challenges are even just getting on with you today. And
but that was my problem, but yeah.
No.
Don't you love it when your internet just goes out? It just disappeared. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, just setting up my office and learning how to do that. There's a number of, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Reels, all these things that I want to use, newsletters. I have a mailing list, and just figuring out how to do newsletters to keep in touch with my readers. Because just like any business, those are my most valuable customers, are those people who have already read some of my books, they've expressed interest. They've got on my mailing list so that I can keep in touch with them. It's almost endless, you know, all the technology, but it's fun. And, you know, when I don't know if you're familiar with Strength Finders.
Oh, yes.
You know, I love Strength Finders. And when I go through that, Learner is my top one or two.
Really?
And I think I'm lucky that way.
Because, I think so too.
You know, as far as learning all these new processes and such.
I just interviewed somebody yesterday who's a Strength Finders coach. And so I pulled out my top things. I had them handy here, my top strengths. Learner is number 7 for me. You've got it at number 1. I'm positivity. That's number 1.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
And it doesn't surprise me that you're learner. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing you mentioned here, I totally relate to when you said this is one thing that it really gets in the way and that writing is sedentary work.
Yes.
It really is. And I find that my, you know, all of my jobs have been somewhat sedentary, but now it's worse than ever.
Yes.
In fact, I play saxophone. I played in a band for years. And once I became an entrepreneur, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't go and sit someplace for another few hours once a week. I have to find something where I'm moving. So I started tap dancing. I just needed to.
Oh, fun.
Yes, it is fun. When your back doesn't bother you, it's fun. But I just thought, wow, I am more sedentary than I ever have been. So what are you doing to help with that?
I've also always had a sedentary job. And the thing I did in 2020, and I fell off the wagon and I want to get back on it. And you know how Facebook memories pop up?
Yes.
And I had this happen yesterday. It just popped up and reminded me because I did a video about it. But in 2020, I was just like everybody, so many people, I had to work from home and I was still in my corporate job then. But I made time every day to walk outside. I wore my Fitbit and I kept track of my steps. And I challenged myself to walk at least 10,000 steps every day for a year because my brother did it. And I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it too. And so when I did that video, and I don't remember the exact timings because this was a few years ago now, but I had walked 1,000 miles.
Wow.
Since I had started keeping track because I had a spreadsheet. And so that really worked. And it wasn't so much weight related. I mean, I just have to move more.
Yeah.
And now that I'm writing full time, I really don't have an excuse. I need to get back out there and get doing it again. So moving more. And the other thing I'm struggling with a bit and need to research and figure out are my hands. I'm getting some arthritis. I'm getting some trigger finger.
Are you actually writing with your hands?
Typing.
Oh, you're typing. So because you made reference at the beginning to a drawer and I didn't know, are you really putting something in a drawer or are you?
I had them printed out.
Okay.
I love printed out.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. I'm like, is she writing these manuscripts?
No. No, I'm typing. And now, you know, so now I got to figure out, okay, I have to be able to keep typing. There's dictation and that kind of thing that I can learn to use as extra tools, but I know I'm always going to want to be able to type.
And are you ergonomically set up there? Or are there more things you can do around?
I'm working on it.
Computer. Yeah. I find most of us aren't doing what we can to help ourselves that way.
Right.
With all this home-based stuff, that's really something good to look into. Yeah. I need to do that too. I just got a new chair. This is a new chair.
Nice.
Because my butt was killing me.
Yeah, I have a nice keyboard I got for Christmas and I have a stand for my laptop to get it at the right height. So I have things in my office, but then I find myself sitting up on the couch with my laptop in my lap typing away. So,
oh my gosh, that would kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And you also mentioned that your years of experience has really helped you temper your reactions when things go wrong, because of course they do. I was, again, so glad that you mentioned that because, you know, we do have wisdom. We're not just older. We are wiser. Mm-hmm. And it really does help.
Absolutely. A lot of my work, as I mentioned, is online. I'm in a lot of author forums, for example.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
The author community is wonderful. And I was so surprised just because I'd never been exposed to that before. However, every once in a while, there'll be drama that comes up and, you know, people will be complaining about something. And it's like, just take a deep breath. This too shall pass. And then, of course, readers. You know, I've got lots of reviews out there now on 9 books, and they're not all going to be 4 or 5 star reviews. So you kind of have to have thick skin, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I know now. When I was 30, I wanted everybody to like me.
Yeah.
When I'm 57, I know that's not possible. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Not everybody will get me. My books aren't for everyone. And that's fine. And I think that's a lesson that we've all probably picked up over the years. And it can just help us stay calm in the face of chaos when things go wrong, when you hit publish and the file doesn't work or something.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It will be fine. Yeah. But you're right. The perspective is really good. So what do you want next in your business?
I want a few different things. I started this rather late, and earning a living writing books requires a number of books. And so I want to keep writing books, keep putting books out. I want to develop a circle of peers, of friends that I know, not just online, but mm-hmm. offline as well, you know, perhaps at conferences or whatever. I had that when I worked in person in an office setting. I had work friends. That's harder to get now. And I want to set an example for my kids. I kind of think of it as the legacy I'm leaving. I want them to see that it is possible to find work that you really enjoy that can also make a positive difference out there in the world. I'd say those are kind of the 3 big things that I want out of my business.
Yeah, that's so good. And I know that you mentioned being productive and being distracted and doing all that stuff. And you mentioned in your notes that you know you would have regrets if you let it slip away. Tell me more about that.
I think that was one of the driving factors for me to make that scary leap to leave my corporate job, because I knew if I didn't do this, I would regret it. Mm. We fully thought, my mom passed away at 74. The longevity in her family, we were sure she'd live into her 90s or 100. And when things like that happen, I think it just has helped me see that now's the time. We got to do it now. I knew if I did not leave the job that no longer fulfilled me, that I would regret it, even though I know I have at least 10, if not more, years ahead of me where I want to be financially building up our reserves and that kind of thing so we can travel and that, but just no regrets. And I feel like too many people, that was another thing when I was working in corporate, I saw so many people that just coast. They're just going to coast their last 10 years, 5 years until retirement. Well, then what are you going to do if you don't have really any hobbies because you've worked too hard too long? Or what if you get sick? I had a wonderful friend who luckily retired early and had a wonderful decade, but then he got sick and he passed away. And if he hadn't retired early, he would have never got those years. So just back to your comment about we're wise by now, I just think it's important to think about what's important to you and then how you can make some changes in your life. And it doesn't have to be as drastic as quitting a job. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get there from 2016, I would say, until 2021. So, you know, 5 years before I actually quit. But there were things I was doing all along so that I could do that. My husband was self-employed and I supplied the benefits at that time. So it's like, okay, the last year I saved most of my salary so that we could pay our health insurance. And, you know, things work out and now he's doing something that provides benefits. So I've just found chase those dreams. And sometimes we've even forgotten what our dreams are.
Oh my gosh, that is very common because we've been so disconnected from them.
Right.
Putting everybody else first for the longest time and life is hectic in those years where you're building. Yeah, very disconnected from dreams. So once you got clarity on it, 5 years, like I was stuck for 5 years. I didn't have the nerve to quit. I got laid off. Mm-hmm. And it's a very big decision to go after your dreams, but you don't want to have regrets. And it sounds like that fear of regrets was very motivating for you.
It was. And during those 5 years, I almost hate to admit this out loud, but I kept hoping I would get laid off.
Oh, I did too. I fantasized about it, but then when it happened, too. I thought I was going to throw up. It was so painful.
Well, and interestingly enough, the first chapter of my first book, that's what happens. So my first book is me living vicariously through my character. It's a layoff that leads to a whole new life. But once I turn 55, it's like, okay, I'm not going to wait any longer because I will regret it if I don't.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that clarity really changed your life. That mm-hmm. is so, so good. So tell us, the best way to get your books is basically any place online, but you also have some blog posts, right?
I do. When I first started writing, so my whole first series has each chapter is gift of something. I use that to name them. And that was really fun. Because the series is called Celia's Gifts. But then within each book, all the chapters are a gift of something. And so then I thought, when I was first putting out my books, I thought it'd be fun to write blog posts as well. So I was doing it every week for a few years. But then as I got more books out, then I didn't have as much time. So now I write an occasional blog post, but they're all about family, friends, just life lessons.
Yeah.
So I have a website that where you'll find all my blog posts, links to all my books, and that type of thing. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
What's your web address?
It's www.kimberlydiedeauthor.com.
Okay. And of course, that link is going to be in the show notes. And how can people find you on social?
On social, I'm on Facebook and Instagram are the two places that I'm most active.
And it's at Kimberly DD Author?
It is.
On both of them. That's great. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, we're excited to see what you write next. I am so impressed with how much you're writing. And I know you're probably always thinking, I'm not doing enough. I should be farther along. My schedule should be tighter. Yada, yada, yada. But like, wow, you are cranking them out. And that is really something. I'm sure you've had comments from seasoned authors as well who are impressed with your commitment to your schedule.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I just have so many stories to tell that I need to keep getting them out.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Amazing. Kimberly, awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time from your day and sharing all this stuff. I really appreciate how thoughtful you were about writing about your family in a way that's, you know, inspiring your stories and capturing those stories to help teach others. Like, it's really beautiful the way you've been just incorporating some of what you learned from them into your stories. It's so great. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I do too. I'm having so much fun.
Oh, obviously. Okay, that's it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.